And welcome to the Penny Mart House with Chris and Paul and a voiceless but soldiering on Oreo.
Hello. You okay?
What's Matt? You've been too much yodeling.
Too much
naturally. You know what yodeling I'm like.
You think yodeling. It'd be quite lubricant performing that kind of activity.
It's because I've been starting up bagpipes and.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's fucked me up.
You've been blowing some pipes.
Well, this is a new thing, the fetish. Wrap it in. Sandpaper.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I thought he'd like it.
Well, first of all, I think we should start by a slight apology.
Well, less of apology and more of a ghostly haunting has
occurred. Yes, because we did have, we were supposed to release an episode last week. And we had it all ready.
And we did it. We did record it.
It was all recorded. It was all perfect.
All nice and fine.
And it was, strangely enough, it was on a ghostly event.
Yeah. Talking about the poltergeist.
And then all of a sudden, come to finish the editing, and bloody half of it's disappeared. It had been siphoned. Siphoned by the ghouls and the ghosts.
We had a gremlin in the system.
Well, it's all you can put it down to.
So, we lost it.
So, we'll have to re-record the end.
So, you'll have to wait a bit to learn.
And then we'll put it out. So, we do apologise. We do apologise about that.
Worry, sorry.
But now we're back.
We're back, we're bigger, we're better.
I won't go that far.
But we're here, and we're trying.
Yeah. We're gravelier than ever.
Yeah, we're not giving up.
And so we're taking another trip to Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland. Ooh. Something in the water up there. Yeah,
and there's been many murders. Many, many murders.
I think they've calmed down a bit since the invention of iron brew.
Is that what it is?
That water, it didn't agree with the Scots.
Oh, yes, it got them a bit
angry. Got them all a bit rowdy and riled
the
up.
Sugar of the brew.
Iron brew, it settled them right down.
Yeah.
Deep fried pizza as well.
Yeah, that's
Buck
it.
Fast.
That's yeah. Sorted
all that. All that stodge.
Yeah.
Just calming them down
stodge
a bit.
And tonic wine.
Yes.
Good for you, full of vitamins.
And we're going back a long, long time. Like 1820s.
Yeah.
Into the 1830s.
Early 19th century.
A time, well, I'm sure this is a tale that many people have heard of. A time when, you know, the medical professions were trying to take leaps forward, but, you know, the bodies weren't there to delve into.
Anatomical studies are on the rise.
They are.
People are no longer believing in the four humours, I think it was, wasn't
yes.
it? They used to like, and the sort of rhythms of the body. That's getting a bit old hat now.
And there's
no more spiders doused in butter to cure you from a common cold.
And there's demand. There's a demand for knowledge. But yeah. what do you need when there's a demand?
Supply. Well, at the moment, you're only allowed by law, if you're a doctor, to use the corpses from people who've died in prison.
Yes.
Suicide victims. Or from orphans.
Orphans?
It's a bit tight, isn't it?
It is a bit
just
tight.
Just like the underbelly. Like they use like the underbelly of society.
Orphans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And foundlings. I don't even know what they are.
Well, I heard as well, people who were being executed as well for...
Yeah.
And when I heard like executions, like you did get executed for like just minor, like
yeah,
shoplifting.
Like, you know, and, winged to the north.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean... They were the only supply of bodies for these surgeons and young learneds at the
yeah.
University of Edinburgh.
Mm.
So what came from that was the grave robbers.
Yeah, great. Resurrection men.
Resurrection
men. I love that. I think that's a great nickname for them.
Mm.
Resurrection men. And basically, if you drop dead, then they come and get you pretty quick sharpies because they don't want it when you're a bit like...
Yeah, well, that's it.
A bit rotty.
Get well, that's the thing. They used to get these bodies in and then... Because the surgeons were only just starting to do these examinations, the theatres would be packed with students, you know, eager to look at a kidney and a stone. A good pair of lungs, whip off his buttocks, let's see what's inside there.
Well, the thing is, they wanted to find these things.
Yeah.
Like, they thought, like, when you eat something and it goes down, you didn't know where it went.
Yes. So it's the first time they're learning for the first time what's going on.
How does that pie turn into poop?
Yeah.
We just don't know.
And was they even thought they may find the soul once they cut open the little orphan.
Yeah. It was nice though in them days because, like, when you did a poop, it was like a nice surprise. Ooh.
Yeah.
Where's that come from?
So people would go out robbing graves.
Yes, they would. Very naughty.
Now, ideally, on the night of the funeral,
yeah,
they dig down a bit, get down to the box. Hey, up, we're in. They just get down to where the feet are. They crack open the box, and they bend that back on itself. Like, so all
lift
the
muck up.
Then you just grab all the ankles.
Whip them out.
And pull it out. So that way you didn't have to dig.
It's like that thing you do with a tablecloth.
It is. It's a bit like a tablecloth.
That's how I imagined
it. If you got really good at it, left all clothes behind in your coffin.
Well, that's what you had to do. You had to take all the clothes off, any like rings, bloody jewellery out like that.
Messing about, innit?
I know. Yeah, I hope they didn't have baggy socks on. Otherwise, when you pull them, you'd fall
you're
back.
Back on your arse, wouldn't you?
You'd be like,
the old baggy sock trick.
So as more and more people learned of the fruits...
Money
to be made from the grave robbing. The police had to put certain precautions in place. There'd be grave watchers.
Yeah.
On the night of a funeral, people would be... I mean, you could pay for your own grave watcher. Like we said with Dick Turpin, he paid for one, didn't he? So that you weren't snatched. So
they even went as far as building, like, little watchtowers in graveyards and having, like... metal cages around coffins.
Mort safes.
Stop you getting
mort houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mort safes and mort houses.
Ooh.
Fancy that.
I quite like this little detail.
Oh, right, yes.
That the price for a body in the summer was approximately £7 to £8, but in winter, £10.
Oh. Yeah, because there were more, you know, they could store the bodies for longer.
They lasted
in winter,
longer.
And therefore there were more dissections in the winter months.
Ah.
So they liked it.
Yeah, because they hadn't got refrigeration sorted yet. Had they?
So they could store
otherwise,
bodies for
longer.
Otherwise,
you could be digging them all summer and sticking them in refrigeration.
You thick fucks, aren't they?
Yeah. Fools. Apparently, a number of the grave robbers were women. They used to wear tiny little shorts with...
Hot pants.
Hot pants, and they also had big breasts.
They said like smacked bloody uters.
No, they did. Listen, I put in images of Tomb Raider on Google Images. And that's what it came back with.
Yeah, so I tried to do that, but I put in Womb Raider. Something else entirely came up.
I thought it might.
Boom, boom. So, as you can imagine... As it got more and more difficult to dig up these bodies in the early hours of the morning after a funeral, well, it wasn't long before some people started, well, you know, realising that...
Let's just speed the process along, shall we say.
Yeah, let's speed the process up. Why bother digging when you can just get your own corpse? And so we come to the tale of William Burke and William Hare.
Do, do, do.
Burke and Hare. Grave robbers... Murderers, all round naughty chaps.
All round bad blokes.
Bad boys for life.
Bad boys for life. That's where the phrase originates from.
Yeah, no. All the way.
Brap, that was the rattling of the
grave.
The coffin opening.
So I guess in this story, there are a few main protagonists, aren't there?
Yeah.
There are.
So we've got Burke and Hare.
Well, that's it. They're known as Burke and Hare, but they weren't the only ones involved in this gruesome tale.
Well, they were ably assisted by the main squeezes, the chicks.
Yeah.
And then they had a doctor with rather loose morals.
I'd say so.
Was prepared to take the goods off their hands.
Yes.
That's a fair price. That's a fine price, should we say. William Burke abandoned his wife and two kids in County Tyrone, Northern Ireland, made his way over to Edinburgh to work on the on the Union Canal as a labourer.
Bloody hell. So, you're well aware there.
So, these Irishmen, they were good diggers. They always say that, don't they, about paddies?
They do.
Proper good diggers.
A navigational engineer.
Yes. Good with a shovel, that's what that means. On whilst digging the canals, he came across a new friend, William Herr, another navvy working on the canal, also from Ireland. He was actually a fugitive.
A fugitive.
But he was only a fugitive after killing his employer's horses in a fit of rage.
Oh my God, which isn't very nice.
And we know what happens if you kill horses, you get strung up by the neck. And he didn't want to do that, so he ran off to Scotland to dig a canal.
Well,
there's
work in there. Money to be made. Get on with it.
I bet it's hard work digging a canal.
Well, yeah.
A lot of work, really.
If it goes for miles, it's got to be quite deep as well.
Oh, yeah.
Long way, that.
And your shovel will be hitting shopping trolleys all the time.
I know, yeah. Plastic bags everywhere. Blacky bags, trolleys.
Yeah.
A few dead cats. Drowned
puppies.
Yeah. Prams.
Be shit and pissing them days as well, because they'd shit anywhere, wouldn't they?
Johnnies.
Yeah, dirty Johnnies.
Dirty Johnnies.
Oh, so there you have it. So,
needles.
What a great job.
Hers wife, like you said, not wife, she wasn't his wife, was she? She was his
main squeeze.
His main bitch. Squeeze.
His woman.
His bitch. His whore.
Oh.
Brat. She ran the local lodging house.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? It's worth sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can imagine in them days you had a few ruffians in it.
Oh, they were full of shit. They weren't like a hotel.
Weren't Premier Inn.
No, it weren't that good.
You never had Lenny Henry dropping off for a cappuccino in his fresh best purple suit.
It weren't even Travel Lodge.
Weren't even Travel Lodge! Did they have tea and coffee making facilities?
Did they even have beds?
No. They had straw.
Straw would have been a trouser press.
No, there's no straw.
What about tiny biscuits?
They've got to have tiny biscuits.
Come
surely.
On. If they're not
they
right.
They had cholera,
oh,
TB, prostitution, wanton drunkenness.
Oh.
About 10 people to a room living in filth.
Well, so it's not very. No, well,
you wouldn't go there on your jolly hollies.
On a par with Travel Lodge then.
Yeah, on a par. It's nice. It's very nice. Yeah, that was it. Lodging house. It was a shithole.
The lodging houses are like, ten a penny to stay in.
Well, it was just like no one could afford an house.
Yeah.
So you didn't have, unless you was really rich, you didn't have an house. You just paid a bit of rent and stayed in a lodging house.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was back in them days.
And the thing with lodging houses as well, they'd be changing faces all the time, wouldn't they?
People always come and going, yeah.
In and out all the time.
You didn't need a rent book.
No.
Or references.
And it wasn't long until her also moved into the same lodging house with his mistress.
Oh. And they loved it. They were always getting pissed up.
It's so funny. They got
Helen McDoodle was his little squeeze.
They had a bad reputation, didn't they, for hard drinking and boisterous behaviour.
Yeah,
McDoodle.
You can imagine it, can't you?
They were just digging by day and then straight up booze in lodging house.
Boozing and shagging.
Yeah.
Hard whiskey.
I don't like the Helen McDoodle. That's a proper Scottish name, isn't it? McDoodle?
Yeah.
Come forth, McDoodle.
She was affectionately nicknamed Nelly.
Was she? Oh, they're always called Nelly.
I know. It's such a 19th century name.
Yeah, you never get any Poshans named Nelly. No, they're always ruffians.
You get elephants.
Oh, yes, you do get elephants.
Yeah.
Maybe her had a big one. And she was known as the Nelly Tamer.
Nelly the elephant packed a tractor to
battle the circus. Anyway, the two were boozy regular in the lodging house. But then the catalyst for the way forward in their money earning ways was on the 29th of November 1927 when an old chap, an OAP,
Old Donald.
Do you mean 1827?
What did I say?
19.
No, it was 1827, not 1927. Donald died in the boarding house.
Okay, died of dropsy.
Died of dropsy. What's dropsy?
Well, it's when you drop stuff and then you bend over, pick it up and you bump your head.
Sounds like
you're dying.
There's a few circumstances we could conjure up here. One of them's dropping your pants.
Yeah, and trips. Trips like...
Dropping your guts.
Dropping your guts. Dropping a load.
The possibilities are endless. Personally, I think it might be the former. He just shit himself and died.
And died.
I think that could be it.
Drops it, just, well, you know, off the top of my head. It's,
yeah,
really
just off the top just, of my head.
But why, when your reading glasses on?
It's just off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head?
It's just a term for the swelling of the soft tissues due to an accumulation of excess water.
Oh, right, is that what it is?
Yeah, just
so
off
his
the top
body
of my
swelled
head.
Up?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
And then drops it all over the shop.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really sound that fatal, does it?
No. Sounds like a blister.
I was expecting something
unless
a bit more
like
exciting.
A bit like trench foot, where you're like, it's all, you're living horrible conditions and like your body just starts to blow
rot.
Up.
Rot
yeah.
away. Oof. Anyway, he dropped dead.
More importantly, he didn't just drop dead. Well, he died. He did drop die, but he died in arrears of his rent of £4.
Fuck you, £4. He's not
four
paid
quid.
Up. £4.
Well,
that's not paid.
He's not even washed his towels. he's left them on bed. He's not put them in bath.
There were no tiny biscuits.
He owed him £4 and he took out little shampoos.
Yeah.
Fucker.
I heard he nicked the robe as well, but that's just, you know, that's hearsay.
And slippers. Dad in slippers. And they won't give them back. They were burying them in them.
Them crappy little white ones with no soul.
Yeah, got
like
soul.
Cardboard souls.
So, Burke and her, you know, you can imagine them having a beer with wives.
We're a bit upset.
McDoodle and what's Burke's wife called?
Margaret.
Margaret.
Margaret Ladd.
So, McDoodle, Margaret, her, and Burke are sat down having a beer after old Donald dropped his.
Fuck's sake, Donald owes us £4 with no whiskey.
What are we going to do? Hey, I've heard, you know, that the old surgeons down on Surgeon Square pay a few bob for a corpse.
Yeah.
We could, you know. Well, apparently they've got him. They've got him in the coffin downstairs, ready for his funeral in the morning.
Yeah.
So the two lads go down, crowbar, pop the lid, pull his body out. I'm assuming they do the old clothes, you know, whip off them slippers and his robe.
It wouldn't have been much effort ripping them buggers off. They're so light.
Do you think they have a quick bum?
No.
Come on.
Come on, it's bloody 1800.
It's a free shot, isn't it?
No,
a free shot.
Don't know if there's loads of prostitutes down
by
Tanner's Close.
Yeah, there's loads of them knocking about as well.
There'll be loads down Tanner's Close.
No,
so
but if he's died of dropsy and he's got nice swellings of his soft tissues to try and test water, then it'll be nice and soft and padded.
more cushion for the pushing.
Exactly. Maybe
anyway,
not.
Anyway, they whip him out of the coffin and they weigh it down.
Put some bark in.
Yeah.
Bit of bark. Where do you get that much bark? Where do you get a man's worth?
That's going to be a lot of bark.
I thought that having lots of bark hanging around was like a modern phenomenon for lazy gardeners.
Well, obviously not. I bet it was because of all piss and shit that were everywhere.
What? Killed all trees, huh?
No, like they used it for like floor coverings.
All right, like sawdust on spew.
Yeah. Like cheap sawdust.
Crap.
So all the shit up with this bar.
So basically, they whipped him out of the coffin, put in a load of sawdust, nailed it back down.
Job's a good one.
Put him under bed for at night. Next morning, after the funeral. Oh no, they put his body in a barrel.
Well, you've got to put it somewhere.
You have. You've got to do a bit of bendy flexy if you get a body in a barrel.
Oh, God, gotcha. Hold it now. But then break a few legs.
Yeah.
I think, surely.
No, you don't have.
I'll just roll him up, folded him in half.
Yeah, feet behind his ears.
Like a closed book.
Yeah. Like a maiden. Like folding up a maiden.
Like if they've got a bit of notes, they just fold him in half. If they're a bit thick, they might snapped him wrong way.
Oh.
I just like squashed him down like putty.
jumping
on head. Like on we
like
living.
Fart putty.
Windy.
Yeah, stood on barrel lid, trying to get it shot.
Are you listening, London Council, with your shit small wheelie bins?
How are we supposed to get bodies to bloody surgeons with them tiny bins? So they get him in a barrel and they wheel him down to Surgeon's Corner.
Ooh.
Surgeon's Square, sorry.
And they're looking for anyone at this point.
Well, yeah, this is where...
any doctor?
All the academics are knocking about. And they bump into a Dr. Robert Knox, who apparently is a leading anatomist.
Well, I've got to show a bit of background on
old Knoxy. Is he Foxy?
Yeah, well, Noxey was a doctor who had qualified in 1814.
Ooh.
However, he had a bit of a rough start in life. He had smallpox and he was blind in one eye. And it was all like his face sort of mashed up.
Like mangled.
Oh yeah. Dear.
Why badly disfigured.
Sorry, why was it mangled?
He was blind.
Because of smallpox.
Because of smallpox.
He was blind in one eye.
It makes you get like massive weeping sores on your face.
I'm running to that.
And then, like, because even rich people in them days were covered in shit, weren't they?
Yeah.
So it's got like weeping sores and all that. Oof. But then he joined the army as a doctor.
Oh. And he went and did some. Queen and country.
Went and did some work at the Battle of Waterloo.
Oh.
Nice bit of work there.
Yeah, well, there's been plenty of supply and demand again, you know. Plenty
then,
of arms and legs flying off.
Ops on a boat. South Africa.
Oh.
Supporting the old troops when they're fighting, building the empire.
Raping and pillaging.
Yeah, all who are beating up all the locals.
But then he comes back to Edinburgh.
He comes back to Edinburgh and settles there in 1820.
Oh, that's nice. Doing
and
his teachings for the children. And the
he's a fellow. And that doesn't mean he's a man. He's a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons of Edinburgh.
Ooh.
So he
check
is
you.
Very
check
well to do.
You. Well, I mean, like we were saying, the bodies were hard to come by. And it was said that even students were going out, like, digging up bodies. Because, I mean, there were no university challenge then. Oh, no. Which I think was good for them. Because you see them on that university challenge and, you've seen what they look like.
I know, exactly.
You
know.
Have you not seen Monkman? He's all over the news at the moment.
Oh,
old Eric Monkman off the university challenge.
Is he a bit of an oddball?
Phenomenon.
Is he?
Well, he's like a super nerd, but he's got like a mass following now.
Right.
Because he's taken nerddom to a new level.
That's
why?
Yeah.
And how's he done that?
He's just being himself, but he's just sort of made up loads of fans, eh?
Right.
I mean, like an Uber
old Monkman.
Old Monkman. Well, I mean, I like this because they wouldn't have been bollocksing around doing university challenges. They'd have been, you know, getting down and dirty.
In the field.
Digging up bodies, you know, putting themselves under a bit of stress. A bit of manual labour.
Oh, they wouldn't
that's
have
what
liked
they
that. They wouldn't have liked that.
A bit of practicality.
These doctors coming through university these days, that's what they should be made to do.
Dig
you can have a body. You can have a body to dissect, but you've got to dig the bastard up first. Even if they just bury it in school grounds.
Yeah, this is
you've
true.
Got to earn it.
Well, old Knox here, he didn't dig up his own bodies because he was very, very posh.
He was very posh and very rich. Very rich, sir.
He...
Would you like to buy a body?
Did two dissections a day.
Oh!
In front of a full crowd.
In the full auditorium.
In the theatre. And he advertised as part of his work that he would do a full demonstration on fresh
meat.
Anatomical subjects.
Oh!
So not just old stale.
So he needs
not just stale people from prison.
He needs fresh meat.
Fresh meat.
I think it's important to note as well like how prolific he was because following on from his, you know, demonstrations on fresh human flesh, he was actually arguably one of the at the forefront of progressing
anatomy
in Britain.
He was a top boy in
so
the world
like,
of arguably, astronomy.
Without him and his dodgy old ways,
we wouldn't know
from the cop.
Sadly, when you look back at the course of history, no great advances have been made by doing things that are quite ethically correct.
No. I.e. the Nazis.
Yeah, if you want to find out a lot of stuff, break a few rules.
Yes.
And be very inhumane to your fellow man.
So Dr. Knox paid a grand total of £7.10 for Donald's corpse.
A princely sum.
How much would that convert to these days?
In modern money... This is a real conversion, not that all our conversions aren't real. £1,000.
Oh, not bad for a
grand.
Christ.
£1,000?
You might be onto some here, lads.
I'll knock someone off for a grand.
So, bloody hard, show him a wheelie bin. No doubt.
Straight it, wheelie bin. Not that we can fit them in these days.
No.
As we've discussed.
If you've never jumped up and down on bin day, you've never seen life.
No.
You've never lived.
Yeah, £1,000.
I mean, that more
get
than
on it.
What more than covers the £4 that he hadn't paid for his fresh towels and that.
He's got his back rent covered and he's got a big piss up covered.
Well, that's it. They're like a brew or two, these lads.
Yeah.
So the straight out boozer on the black stuff, pissed out their heads. Get wives down because they love a sup as well. They're drinking Bucks Fast and Guinness. They have a wild night.
Iron Brew and vodka.
Yeah. So you can imagine them sat there, you know, after a few beers, like, bloody hell, I mean, it's all right, isn't it? But, you know, we just need a couple more. Like, I mean, how often do you come across a corpse?
Fairly irregularly.
Exactly. So they're thinking, well, where can we get corpse rust from? So, after a few more beers, you can imagine them, they're thinking.
Minds are going into overdrive.
There's an older gentleman living at the lodge house named Joseph.
There is. Oh, Joseph.
Now, old Joe has had some long-term illnesses. I don't know exactly what his illnesses are. You know, maybe...
He's not doing so well.
Gout or something.
He's got a fever. He's become...
Does that mean he's a good dancer?
Well, maybe. He's got night fever, yeah? Maybe. He's got the night fevers and he's delirious.
Oh,
so it's maybe, bad for business, isn't it?
Maybe he's just an eccentric groover.
Well, maybe. But nevertheless, a delirious fever person is not good for your lodging house business.
Ah, because nobody wants to be around.
Well, we don't want to live in that lodging house. It's got the typhoid in it and the bad stuff.
He's got that bloody groover in there.
He's got the cholera.
His silver suit. Nobody wants to hang around someone like that, do they? Always throwing shapes in bar. I'm not going the bollocks to that. So they think, right.
Well, we'll just speed him along.
Well, you can imagine them convincing each other, can't you? Well, he's in a bad way.
He's old.
If anything, we're doing him a favour.
We're putting him out of his misery, aren't we? We're helping him along.
Yeah. Now they slip into his room in the night, and this starts to be their trademark.
Yeah,
should we say?
Hatched a little plan.
Yes. It's the old cover and pinch routine. And by this, I mean that they slip the hand over the mouth and then pinch the nose. Well, which is so simplistic, it's almost genius.
Burke's got the best job. His job's just for lie down and just lie across his chest.
All right.
Yeah,
just lies on him.
He basically planks him, like that trend from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Whilst... The other one.
Because then you're crushing the chest then so they can't breathe.
Yeah, so he lies across the arms and the chest to stop them from, like, jigging about. You know, like a rugby league player when he's trying to get out of a tackle.
Yeah.
Keeps them under control.
So he lies across and then the other one pinches and covers.
But also,
they've, like, given him a bit of whiskey as well.
Got him pissed up. But you've got to think as well, doing that didn't show all that many marks on the body. So when they were taking him to get, you know, cut open and stuff, it wouldn't look as obvious.
Well, that's it. You couldn't be taking a body to Surgeon Square, even though the morals of Dr. Knox
are law.
A law. If you're bringing someone in with stab wounds, they're just going to be like, whoa, hold on a minute.
Not having anything to do with this.
Yes.
It's natural causes, mate. It's natural causes. Found him like that. Just woke up one morning, went to his room, then they come down for his breakfast. But full
we're
breakfast,
all down there, on, waiting for Buffy.
Breakfast Buffy.
Full continental.
And he's not come down, lad. His bloody napkin's still there on the table, all nice and white.
So they bang him in barrel, roll him down to...
old Noxy.
To Surgeon's Corner, or whatever it's called. And they sell him. This time, they get tenner.
Tenner.
A bloody tenner, so what's going to be that? About 1,400 quid.
Yeah, easy.
Because he's a bit younger, they get a bit more dollar.
Yeah.
And it just, as Oriel says, there's no obvious signs of death.
No.
It's just practically undetectable until, you know, until like modern forensics would have come in a few years after.
Yeah, they're on a winner.
They just look like, you know, normal dead blokes you'd find lying around.
You see, the problem is, though, they've made some heavy dollar now, and they're like we said, they like a beer, so they're on the piss with the birds. And... They just go from one to another now.
Well, it goes a bit quick fire now, don't they?
Well, the women are into it because you can imagine they've probably got to get it. They're going up piss and get it misses.
Well, like
a
new Gucci handbag.
Yeah, new Gucci bag. Some chinky chonko shoes or whatever they're called.
Jimmy Choo.
Here now, I'm fed up with you smelling like a fucking, you know, a bag of shit.
Get her a bag of rose petals.
I've got you some bloody rose petals here. I'm going to freshen you right up. In fact, you can have two baths a year, not one.
Get some of that pot puree down your blouse, you dirty bitch.
Throwing these hard petals at
them. Yeah. I've got some grass. Smell of grass. It smells better than shit.
Still in there, your knickers.
So, yeah. So it's quick fire. So the next one to cop for it is Abigail Simpson, a salt cellar.
Oh, a salt cellar.
Yeah.
That's not really a trade these days, is it? Well, I imagine it is.
Well, Tesco's do it.
Yeah, but they don't specify that, you know, specified salt cellars.
Or maybe she was just a salt cellar. She used to just sit on restaurant tables.
Or, oh no, what a
sprinkle salt on your dinner.
Or what about these people like sadists?
Oh yeah.
And they used to go around, and she used to sell salts.
Oh, salts! Yeah, maybe.
She used to smack them in the face.
Yeah, I'll beat you up for a tenner.
Yeah, she used to salt people for a fiver.
Well, details are sketchy.
I think we're clutching at straws with that one.
But she gets done in, quickly followed by an English male lodger from Cheshire.
Oh! Quickly followed and quickly pronounced. Burke and her seem to be taking turns at this point. Now, you can imagine that they're saying, well, you do the next one. No, I'm lying down. I'm planking next one. And then the other one has to do the old cover and pinch. So... But again, you know, they're taking him down to old Noxy, Dr. Knox, and he's buying him up.
He is.
You know, averaging a tenner a time.
Just...
1,200 quid a drop.
Just going back to great jobs. The unnamed Englishman from Cheshire.
Oh, yes.
He was a travelling salesman of matches and tinder.
Oh.
How the fuck has he managed to get all the way from Cheshire to fucking Edinburgh?
Be a load of wood.
With wood and matches for sale. I mean, come on. Surely there was a local gig for that.
Well, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
You're fucking long way from home.
And it's crying out for an accident, that as well. You know, on an odd day.
It says that he fell ill with John. It's no pissing wonder.
Bloody friction. Friction.
Next minute, one of matches goes. That's it. He went up in a puff of smoke. But one thing that they have done up to this point is stayed with like travellers, you know, people passing through, people that aren't too familiar to the locals, which is easy when you're vacating a lodging house because people are in and out all the time. But this is when I wouldn't say they make the first mistake, but this is when it's the first sign of getting sloppy, I think, because. They invite a couple of lasses round. Murray Patterson and Janet Brown. Now, these two are a couple of teenage prostitutes.
Oh, dear.
You know, well known on the scene. Yeah. Probably many a chap dropping in.
Local brass.
They invite them round the lodging house, get them both pissed on whiskey. Now, Murray passes out. She's a bit of a lightweight.
Well,
she's
a lightweight.
She's on couch, like, you know, probably been sick down her. Yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
Kebab round her girl.
Murray's fucking off her head again. Look at the state. I'm going out, me. Well, that's exactly what Janet does, because Janet's a bit more of an ardent drinker. She goes out on town, selling her wares, leaves Murray to it.
Yeah.
Bob's back next some day. Money. Bob's back next day. Where's our Murray? Where's our Murray?
She's gone.
She's gone. She's just gone. No, she was here. Where's our Mary?
Oh, she pissed off in early hours. Don't know where she'll go.
Our Janet, what? She weren't for being told, and she stayed for several hours.
She weren't giving
Mary
up.
Mary Brown, waiting for Mary, but she didn't turn up. Well, she were never going to turn up because all the time she was stuffed in a tea chest.
She bloody was
in William Burke's room. So not the first stuffing she'd had that weekend, I imagine, but it was the last.
Yeah, and the thing is, in them days, because everywhere stunk of shit, you couldn't really smell like
any kind of like rotting.
Well, and as soon as Janet left, that was it. They got her in the barrel, wheeled her down,
rolled her down, surgeon's
square. Bloody McDougal!
I reckon you got more for like a teenage girl. Because
They got 10 quid each, didn't they, for this?
But bloody, let me tell you this, McDougal. She bloody kept a bloody skirt and petticoat,
did she?
Yeah. So she murdered her, and then she's like my new skirt.
Well, that's I suppose one thing that we haven't spoken about.
Looks a bit like Margaret's skirt, that.
At the minute, the two women are well in on it, aren't they?
Yeah.
The two not wives, but the two
women
well in. That they knock her. They know what they're doing. They're enticing people in, even though
they're all part of it.
Even though it's Burke and her that are doing the killing. So
I think it's quite funny as well. They seem to make up the excuse that these people that do get ill that they end up murdering. They use if they get ill and they make all our infect our lodgings, we've got to kill them. We've got no choice.
Oh, yeah.
I like how they use that as an excuse.
And I like the reason that they give for Janet's disappearance. Not Janet, Murray's disappearance. Because, like, a mate, Janet, has come back looking for her. Where is Mary? And I quote, she's left for Glasgow with a travelling salesman.
Oh, has she now?
That old chef.
She's selling matches as well.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, knickers full of matches.
They're always just bogging off people, aren't they?
Well, you could do them days, you know.
Very transient.
But this was the first time that suspicion kind of arose, because it was amongst the students that suspicion arose, because amongst the students in the theatre, as our Murray was dissected, was a couple of young lads that had been customers.
Yes, several customers.
A couple of lads in there had been balls deep in Murray, recognised that sweet little bottom on the slab. And rose their eyebrows and whispered amongst themselves.
Yeah, but have you heard what they say? So, like, these junior doctors and that,
yeah,
they're like, where have you got this body from? Where have you got this body from?
I bet there's a few.
Because, like,
I reckon I'd that birthmark.
They said,
I've shagged that funny.
We
can see it now, can't you? Bloody hell, them tits, I've seen them tits before.
Been there, me.
Three minutes. Yeah,
no, not saying anything.
Hey, Ralph, been there, me. Get out. Me and Art, like, sloppy seconds, you dirty bastard.
Was she dead or alive? I've seen that thatch before now.
I was going to say, it'd be a thatch in them days.
It would have to be one day.
There were no Brazilians.
No back second crack.
Hey, I've never seen that thatch before.
Big, massive, hairy thatch.
Oh, like a bloody afro.
She is out.
Yeah, but when on questioning, where have you got the body from? We've bought it from an old woman. Again, a shit excuse.
I love that, it's brilliant.
Yeah. It's like, it just doesn't happen these days. Where have you got that body from?
Who asked where the body was from?
One of the junior doctors, one of Knox's assistants.
Ah, somebody who'd had a go.
And Burke says, we bought it off an old woman who told us that the young girl had drank herself to death.
Ah, choked on her own vomit.
You can't buy dead bodies these days, can you?
No, see, times have changed. For the worst. Times have changed.
I'd definitely buy a dead body if I could.
Now, I mean, they carried on killing after that. You know, they were picking people up at random. They're sloppy at this point. They're money hungry, aren't they? You know, it's so easy. They're just killing cash, killing cash, killing cash.
Killing cash. Like, for example, Mrs. Haldane, who, just in a very brief description, was a fat old woman.
Oh, was she?
She became drunk and fell asleep in a stable. So they smothered her and sold her. You know, I mean, that's someone's life in two sentences.
Yeah, don't nod off at the other gaff. You'd be fucked, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, they even killed one of McDoodle's cousins.
Oh, yeah.
That had been visiting.
Fuck you. You know what, families, no one likes their families, do they? There's always a cousin who you hate.
That fucking Reggie's a right dickhead. Shall we do him?
Let's have him.
Do him. I can do it a few quid. I need a new flat screen. Let's fucking do Colin in. Do my fucking head in.
Go on, get planking now.
I bet they were pissed at barbecue. Watch this. I'll get fucking red with barbecue pincers. Come on. You cover, I'll pinch.
And then following that, there was a murder of a young woman called Effie.
Effie now.
And she was a cinder gatherer by trade.
A what gatherer?
A cinder gatherer.
Cinder.
So if you're not selling tinder, you're gathering cinder.
Another shit job. What's cinder?
Like burnt bits. Yeah. A shite.
Leftover.
What the fucking hell do you do with them?
You sell them.
I've got this burnt bit of wood.
Listen, right, that's one step up. The people who's going around collecting piss and shit for selling.
I know. They'll sell out then, dears. I'd have me a fucking car boot back in 1829. Who the fuck's selling bits of burnt wood?
It's not second-hand bloody radio alarm clocks in them days.
Old toys.
It's just piss and shit in the burnt wood.
I don't understand what people are doing with burnt bloody cinder. For complexion.
They'll use it for something. Like, they used piss for tanning, didn't they? So, like, you could collect... All your family would piss. All your family would piss in a pot. And then you'd take your pot of piss round to the local tanners.
Not before,
and then they'd buy your piss off you. because of the ammonia in it, and they'd use that to treat animal skins when they were making leather.
Ah.
You could sell anything in olden days. Bogies.
Bogies. Earwax. Sell bogies.
Well, what else, what she did to accommodate this selling of cinder was
cinders.
She used to rifle through bins and scavenge things to sell on.
Right.
So
it's not a career path, I choose.
No.
But she'd been known to Burke for, you know, selling said scraps from bins and whatnot. And she'd previously sold some scraps of leather to him for cobbling, I think.
Ooh.
And that's how they became familiar.
Yeah.
They are.
Snurder.
And one day, Burke tempted her into the stable with some whiskey.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
And as you can imagine, you know, gets a bit merry, lifts her skirt up.
Pissed all way up.
This is the great bit now.
Bit of a merry boogie.
This is where we're getting into the crumbs on tunic policing now.
Oh! Did he finger blast her in? Back at Bath for half a yarn of leather.
It's forever the most offensive way to say it, finger blast.
So obviously he's bumped poor Effie off, bundles her into a barrel and off she pops. He takes her down to Knox and the rest is history. But then something very strange happens and he finds a very drunk woman unable to stand up and he thinks, rubbing his hands.
Oh, bloody hell, two in one.
Like all his Christmases have come at once.
Yeah.
And
what a chances.
She was being helped by a local constable, ironically, to go back to her lodgings.
Oh, Bobby's got her own at arm.
You know, and you can imagine what he's like then. Burke's like, I'll take over. I know her. I'll look after this wee barn.
She's staying at our lodge.
Yeah.
We know her. She's got bed and breakfast on for the morning.
And so the policeman thought, yeah, brilliant, you know, take her off my
hands. Made up that copper, thank fucking got rid of her.
Yeah, bloody Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. Pub. Coppers, yeah,
go back to me whiskey. So then obviously...
Back at van.
So obviously...
Back at 1828 van.
Yeah.
Horse and cart.
Tying horse up.
Throwing her amongst the cinder.
Yeah. Don't come and knock it when the carriage is rocking.
So obviously he finds this pissed up woman and off he pops back to his lodging down Tanner's Lodge.
Yeah.
And inevitably she was, planked.
Planked and nipped.
Planked and nipped and
that's it.
Kicking up daisies all of a sudden.
Next thing she's in a barrel.
So that's another £10 from Knox for her body.
Yeah.
So I that's mean, 20 quid in a night.
They're getting ruthless
like
now.
Like 2 grand.
20 quid, that's 2 grand in a night. Lads doing well.
I know.
Yeah, they're getting ruthless. And then the next
roll
murder.
The barrel out, roll the...
That's wine the bottle.
Roll out the barrel.
Roll out the barrel of fun.
Wine the bottle. You were singing it in the style of wine the bottle of that child's nursery rhyme.
Well, maybe that's what that song referred to.
Yeah,
roll out the barrel, it's got old Nelly inside. Roll out the barrel.
Enough.
We bagged another grand.
Hey.
So, once you're onto a good thing, you can't stop, can you?
Well, no.
So the next thing they do, this lodging house, it's just the perfect opportunity.
Well, like you said, people in and out all the time and... New faces.
Another thing as well, because it was quite low cost. It were people that were like...
Well, it's all dregs, isn't it?
Yeah, they were like... I'm not saying... They were like peasants, basically. And they weren't people that would be easily missed.
Yeah.
So they were like the target victims.
So then, they get a couple staying at the lodging house, and it's a grandmother and a grandson who are travelling through. They've come down from Glasgow, probably selling, leaves or something. But they've carried all the way from fucking Glasgow to hell. But,
scrap metal.
Yeah, what have you brought? Some fucking horse manure that we
It's a bit nasty, this one. The grandson, he's deaf and dumb, so he's obviously, he's not so well. And
not a talkative young man.
Well, no, they get the grandmother in, and they say it like they usher the young lad into the kitchen and put him by the fire, nice and warm. You stay there,
well.
Lad. They get her up, the old granny up to the bedroom, bloody same MO.
Yeah, plank and pinch.
Plank and pinch. Then they go and get the grandson, bring him upstairs. But this time, gets a bit sick. They kill him by snapping his spine.
What?
I mean, that's awful.
That's a painful death.
Yeah, well, that's what they do.
How did they do it? They didn't try to put him in barrel before they'd done him, did they?
Well, I can only imagine they did a suplex.
Did they try and get two in one barrel? And forgot to do the pinch.
But later on in life, it's Burke who, when he recounts this tale, he says this one, he really, like, haunts him.
Right.
You know? Because up until now, they'd all been, like, adults, pissed and what have you.
Yeah, and this is a young lad.
And this is a young lad, and they go, like, a bit crazy on him, a bit bloody batshit crazy.
And he can't even scream.
Yeah, well, he can't. But they couldn't get the tea chest. They couldn't get two in.
Oh, God.
So they put him in a bloody...
What's going
on? It's like bloody Keystone Cops. They can't get him in the tea chest or the normal barrel, so they go and borrow a herring barrel.
What the fuck's an herring barrel?
It's a barrel what's had herring in.
All right.
Which are a type of fish.
Well, that stunk.
So they get a fishy barrel and they only get £8 for these because they stink fish.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking stink of fish. We don't, let alone the ones that stink of fucking fire and piss.
When they're on the way to Surgeon Square, the bloody horse, what's dragging the old herring barrel, it's pissed off, it's tired, and the cheeky bastards, they get a bloody local market seller, you know how they have the barrows, all that, and they get him to wheel bloody corpses last bit at journey. I mean, they've got some front, these
They've got
two.
Some gall, haven't they?
The actual bodies.
No, like in the barrels.
Oh, in the barrel, so they've got... I mean, like we said, they're getting sloppy, but now they're just angry. Brazen. They're just
he's
brazen.
That angrier. Yeah. He's obviously that much money nowadays. That they deliver the bodies, he has to pay the bloody market lad for helping him shift them, gets back to his horse, shoots the fucker dead.
Does he?
Yeah. Fuck you, horse.
Oh, shoots the horse dead, not the man who was helping
him. The man, the horse. So that's why I said he shoots the horse dead.
Not calling that as like an insult, you daft arse.
He's not a man with an enormous penis.
Well, we don't know.
Well, he shoots a bloody horse dead. He's going mad, this man. Telling
that's
you.
That's a hangable offence.
It is.
Shooting your own horse.
If it's your own, though, I think you're allowed.
You're allowed, aren't you?
Yeah.
Daft
now. And then someone probably came and sold it anyway.
Yeah. Glue.
I'm a dead horse seller. Yeah. Just happens to be passing through.
I'm a lasagna producer for Iceland.
Oh, controversial. It's all in the past. We've forgotten about that. Yes. It's all in the past.
But like we're saying, they're getting sloppy. They are getting very sloppy. And now, like we said, even though they're doing one after another, the majority of them are people that that won't be missed and aren't seen regular until they get a young man named Jamie Wilson.
Jamie
Wilson, also known as Daft Jamie, to the locals, suffered from what we now know would be learning difficulties.
Yeah,
he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is our Jamie. Makes his trade by he's a street clown.
Well,
likes a bit of juggling.
He's never going to be a dancer, is he?
Well, no.
No, because he's got a club foot.
Yes, he has.
He's got a very bad limp.
Although he can maybe do the moonwalk.
He could do the stumble.
He could do the moonwalk. He was the inventor of the moonwalk. He was just dragging his foot, though. He didn't
realize. Walking backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, my foot. Oh, it's heavy.
Did he have a built-up shoe?
He just had a massive shoe.
Well, then massive Nike Maxis with ten layers of mattress.
He had a normal trainer and a basketball.
He probably took him to bloody smithies and bloody knocked a bloody horseshoe on bottom.
Dragged my foot everywhere. Oh, fucking heavy. Well, yes, he did have a very distinctive face, apparently.
Does that mean he's like a weird cunt?
Probably.
Very distinctive.
And he had a club foot.
Stands out from the crowd.
He used to do stuff in the street like...
Wanking,
not wanking. Telling jokes and juggling. I'm a street clown.
Yeah, but if you look like a weirdo, that's what you were
shooting. Magic! I'll make it rain.
Made custard.
No, that wasn't what he was like.
A street chef.
He was nice.
Street food, it's all the rage. He was thingy.
He did magic tricks and stuff like that.
Slight of foot.
Slight, yeah.
Now you see it. Now you still see it.
Now it's crushed. But Burke and her got him pissed as usual.
Oh.
Plank and pinch. Put him in a barrel. Wheeled him down. Sold him.
Well.
Got a grand, but the next day he was on the slab. Fresh on the slab. And students spoke out straight away. Hold on a minute. That sounds Simple Simon. What's his name? Daft Jamie.
Simple Simon.
That's how Daft Jamie from Off Streets. Him who's always tugging my
arm. Put your hands in the air, Simple Simon says.
Well, old Noxie, Dr. Nox, he's like...
Foxy Noxie.
Hold on a minute. No, no, it's not him, it's not him. Straight away, chops off his club foot, whips off his head.
Well, he's got
him in a basket so nobody can... Nobody, there they go, there
gives them someone to sell.
Yeah, there goes the telltale bloody distinctive features.
Today's dissection on a one-legged headless man. He was found this way when he was brought to me this morning.
Apparently he fell off a curb.
He tripped over and got run over by a carriage. His head fell off.
His head just fell off. I don't really know what happened, to be honest.
I know I'm a leading anatomist of the age, but his fucking head fell off.
Has anyone ever seen it like it?
It's rolled off now. They're playing football with it.
So, I mean, but them students knew. Even though we whipped that foot off quicker than you can say...
What's he going to say?
Abracadabra.
Just a minute, and then he goes and chops it off, and then he wheels him back out and goes, what? You imagined it. It was clearly not him.
First, I'm going to take off the feet. Could I get a bucket and a wheelbarrow?
Pen knife and a big fucking sword. Yeah.
So, these students know that there's something not quite right.
Something's
amiss. Whispers and there's rumours going on about where these bodies have come from. Like we say, it's always questionable how much Dr. Nox really knows.
He knows.
But it's not long until Burke and Hearn finally take it too far and we get into the final killing as the net closes in on the purr. Murray Doherty, an old Irish lady... Oh. The purr meet on the street.
To be sure.
Get chatting to her. Oh, well, sure. We're Irish and you're Irish. Let's go and be Irish together. So they take her back to the lodge and they all sit around, have some lucky charms, dance a jig, get out the old violin and the banjo.
It's a fiddle.
And it's a fiddle, yes. I don't know if they had a fiddle, she's a bit old.
Hey! I keep feeding you them lines.
They neck a lot of whiskey and she passes out drunk.
Oh dear.
You know, everybody knows what's coming next. Plank and pinch. The old lady's dead. Although, before they do kill her, I mean, it must be said that it's the Halloween Eve in 1828. And there's a couple that are also staying at the lodge and have joined the group for a drink.
Well, it's exciting, isn't it? We're having a little party.
Well, they are having a little party. James and Anne Gray sit around now, apparently.
Did they have a thingy? Party rings?
They did.
Did they have a prawn ring?
They had a prawn ring and they had sausages and pineapples and a melon.
Had they hollowed out a turnip?
Maybe.
Just checking.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if anybody were dressed up. Gary, they probably thought they got rid of him, but he was in a white sheet. And she, bloody, Mary's going fucking mad because he's used one of the sheets out of the bedroom.
Oh, bloody hell. It's cut eye holes in it. Yeah. The best linen.
Bloody, Anne's got bloody shower gel, pretending it's blood, put it all over her face.
Bin bag.
You're taking a fucking piss.
Running an absolute mark. Was everyone wearing them tiny crap slippers they found in the bedrooms?
Oh, it's bloody pandemonium. Someone's let a fire extinguisher off.
Glasses smashed everywhere. Oh,
madness.
Someone's nicking them mini cereals out at Buffy for next
Someone
morning.
Someone watching porn on Freeview.
Someone's put a book in that slow toaster.
It's all going up. Sounds like a decent bloody party, this.
Stuck a book on toasting conveyor belt. Oh, it's pandemonium.
Who would ever have pandemonium. Thought that you would have a toaster that had a conveyor belt in it? I mean, it's a modern marvel.
19th century Britain, that.
Tesla would have been proud of that.
He would have been. He would have been. Anyway, I mean, Burke and her are both like, fucking hell, will you fuck off, you two, meaning James and Anne, so they can finally do the plank and pinch on our, what's she called, Mary.
Mary.
And our Mary. So anyway, the two do finally piss off. They go off into town and they do her in.
Yeah.
Take her up to Burke's room, slide her under bed. A couple of hours later, James and Anne return from night, probably pissed out their heads. Had a good night in Edinburgh. Festival might have been on, who knows. watched a play, maybe a couple of comedy acts.
Comedy act. Penny Martes.
Come back, they're like, hey, where's Mary? Where's Mary? She's not here, she's gone out. Fuck off, gone out. She's about 90. Anyway, they keep asking where she is, but and they can sense something's not right.
Something's not right.
There's something amiss.
Disdain.
There is. Anyway, when nobody's looking, the pair take a butcher's under Burke's bed. And what do they find? Not a dirty bed pan.
I hate them bad pens. I always keep running them under bed.
Always running out.
Bad, they're dirty as well.
Trying to write my diary at night. Bloody pen don't work. I just throw it under bed straight away. Bloody hundreds of them under there. Bloody shit biros.
Well, they didn't find a shit biro. They found a dead old woman.
To be sure they did.
So James and I are like, fuck this. Leg it out at lodging, straight down to Bobby's house. Now, en route, though, to the police station, they only bump into Hoodle McDoodle, Helen McDoodle. On her way back to the house. And they're like, oh my God, Helen, you not believe what we've just found? A dead body under one at bed. We went straight to police. McDoodle's like, whoa. No. Because obviously she knows what's going on.
Of course.
She's like, listen, guys. Calm down.
Guys.
Calm down, guys.
Hey, guys.
Listen. What I'll do is I'll give you a tenner a week for your silence. A tenner a week? That's a grand a week, she offers up. Now, I was going to say that tells you how much money they were making, but, I mean, that may well be the case, but I think if they'd have taken the tenner, I think they'd have both been dead within a few weeks. She was just
they'd have found a way. Yeah. They'd have found a way. They weren't going to keep paying that.
No. But the pair refused and continued on to the police station where they told the authorities.
Good moral fibre, them two. I always said that about Anne and James.
Good, upstanding members. Citizens.
The sort of people who really get on your tits because they're so annoyingly good.
So the police, I mean, I don't know what was going on. They were having pasties or something because they didn't go straight up.
Picnic day.
Jeff were leaving. It was his last day. He'd got a gold clock and a buffy all on. So they didn't go straight up. So in which time, Burke and her had only managed to stick old Mary into a barrel and get her down
get to... Get her down to old Foxy Noxy.
So when the police finally did arrive, as you can imagine, crumbs on the tunics. All bits of whisk pie and
a bit
tashes.
Of hummus in the corner of the mouth.
Hummus in the corner of the mouth. Mustard on the cravats.
A very well-dressed police.
Mustard on the cravats and cum on the truncheons.
Poo juice. Oh, good lord.
They went into the...
poo juice. That wasn't an exact depiction of poo juice.
They went into the lodging house and lo and behold, the body was gone. But
No body, no crime.
Well, not necessarily.
Corpus
because
delicti.
They had enough information and eyewitnesses, you know, that the body was there. That's what happened. That they arrested all four.
You're all bad.
Now, whilst, you know, rumour spread that the four had been taken into custody, at which point students began to come forward. Saying, well, you know,
it's been happening a bit. This.
We've noticed a bit of something going on.
Something not there.
And the quads were charged with murder, but what should be an open and shut case proved not to be the case because the old plank and pinch routine.
You can't prove it.
Had proved to be.
There's no CSI.
Well, it had proved to be a very successful method of murder.
Lovely.
Because you can prove it!
Well, if the leading anatomist in the land, who you're buying selling the bodies to, if he's not know that you've murdered him, then old crummy tunic policemen have not got an idea, have they?
No! And to be fair, they've just died a short of breath. And who's going to prove otherwise? Exactly. No bruises, no marks, no stab wounds, no gunshots.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And no bodies in the majority of cases.
No bodies anymore, no, just bits. So the case was taken to trial.
It was.
With all four pleading innocent.
Yeah. Bert was a bit upset, so he just took a bit of opium to ease his conscience.
Oh, did he?
As you do.
Yeah, well, what's he going to do? He's the Lord,
yeah,
so to speak. Now, it was said that Bert was the most intelligent
of the hole diggers.
Of the hole diggers, yeah. So, you know.
I can dig round and square holes.
Ooh!
Ooh! How does he manage these things?
He was the shiniest apple in a...
cat a really crap apple.
In a shit apple pie.
Yeah. And I think the police maybe work this out. You know the old saying? You know, after a long friendship, thick as thieves.
Thick as thieves.
There is no honour among those thieves.
Are you saying he's a gas?
No honour amongst criminals because old Hurry, old Hurry McNury, is offered immunity if he testifies against Bert.
Divide and conquer.
Now, this is a bad way to go about things, if you ask me.
Same.
Because they offer it to Burke and he's like, oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'll give you all the dirt. So this means that Hergett is given immunity and released.
Yeah.
After he testifies against her. But the two women, there was no evidence against them. So they're also released. So the only person convicted is our William Burke.
Bloody hell.
Quite deserved too, because he's a bad lad.
He is a bad lad, but some would say the same about the rest of them. So, Burke's the only one convicted and sentenced to death. Is that right? Execution.
Yeah.
And at 8:15 on the 21st of January, 25, we're allowed to witness his execution. For the dissection, though, which the judge puts upon him for what he has done, for his crimes.
Yeah. Let the punishment fit the crimes.
There are riots as people try to attend the public dissection.
Ooh.
Mm. Not only was he dissected, they used his blood to write notes on the dissection. Within a notebook.
Fucking sick bastards, aren't they? I mean, they're as bad as the bloody criminals.
We'll show you. The book in which they took these notes was bound in leather that was made from Burke's skin.
Yeah.
Was it tanned with his piss? That's
tanned
the
with
question.
His own piss. Possibly. And you can still see his skeleton in the Anatomical Museum of Edinburgh to this day.
Ooh.
Still on display.
That's nice.
Bloody knocks here. He pulls a fast one, doesn't he?
Well, friends in high places.
No charges to be faced. No.
Well, that's when, you know, when,
he
you,
was
when you're
exonerated.
An educated, yeah, you're an educated man with friends in high places. You know,
you're laughing.
You turn a blind eye.
Although opinion was divided amongst the general populace.
Was it? What? How much he knew?
Many of the local residents saw him as the sinister ringmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Who got Burke and her dancing to his tune.
Oh, with his fiddle.
Yeah. But he got away with it, so he was all right. And he became a historical figure and legend in anatomical studies.
Really?
So he come out of it whiter than white, really.
And, you know, he could well have been the, like you said, the ringmaster.
Well,
he
was the
brains behind the operation.
You never know.
He could have been the evilest of them all, and yet he's written in the history books as a good old doctor.
Good old bloke.
He's a bad one, really, though.
The bad egg.
So there you have it, really. I think that sums it up, does it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Any last little
three,
knockings?
I mean, her in McDoodle, she wanders off into the distance. It is said that she did go back to working at the usual lodge house, but she was driven out of town. She was recorded at being driven out of, I think, Carlisle and Newcastle.
Get out of Carlisle!
Yes, get out of it!
Us Carlisleans.
And pretty much the same for the hers as well. I mean, they stayed married. Yeah. Went off together, driven out of, again, like northern cities, and then disappeared into the mist.
Unknown.
Yes.
No one knows probably what just, became of him.
Probably just changed his name and went working somewhere else. Yeah. Who knows?
Changed my name from William Hurt to William Burke.
You wouldn't get away with that now. I mean, look at bloody... What's her name? Her who stuck a kid under bed for a week.
Oh, Shannon Matthews.
Shannon Matthews. Yeah. She's all over the papers all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That tan's not kidding anyone. You could have a tan and a beanie cap, but a beanie hat and...
That was like the best, most thickest fucking thought-through thing ever. What we need is make some money. There we go, make some money.
Stick her Shannon under
stick
bed.
Shannon under bed and
10 minutes in Tenerife, she'll be right. Gone missing. She's been aboard.
Gone missing. Can we have some money?
Save Shannon. We'll get t-shirts made and everything.
Fucking hell. Think it through, you dozy bitch.
You could hide your kid, at least... I mean, under bed, come on, all time under bed.
That's what you hide everything under your bed.
Should have done what?
I can't believe nobody looked in first place.
Should have done what all your mum did in canoe.
Yeah, disappeared to Panama.
At least they got a good few years out of it.
I mean, I can't believe police took so long to find her because, I mean, first place I ever looked when playing in hide and seek is under bed.
Under bed.
Straight under bed.
Under bed.
Under bed behind curtains, guaranteed. Yeah. One of them two.
Curtains is a good one as well, because when they've been looking for ages, you can go, woo, scare them.
Either that or a chandelier on head.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to keep very still.
Very true.
And make your head light up. But, I mean, that was a bit of a sidetrack there. Burke and her. Yeah. That was them. That was what they did. It was a bit naughty.
It was naughty.
Naughty.
But the majority of them got away with it.
Yeah. And they did all right. They had a good crack of the whip, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Some good times.
So, yeah, that was good. That was nice.
Everyday
was
9-to-5 graft,
lovely
didn't it?
Lovely jubbly. Usual stuff. Send us some messages. Facebook, Twitter, all that business. Yeah. I believe Aurel's been sending out some more stickers, which is nice.
I have, and I've got some more to send to a lady called Joanne. I've not forgotten about you.
Ooh, Joanne.
Ah, Joanne.
Massive knockers, Joanne.
I don't know if she has actually. I've not asked her. I heard
she's got massive knockers and she's an erotic dancer and she's using those
she's using
very her, stickers to cover her dignity.
Pasties on her.
Yes.
On the nips.
Yeah. Well, Joanne, I don't really care how you use them, love. You do as you please.
Send us a picture of our stickers on your nips, Joanne.
I was just gonna say that our administrative team had let us down a little bit, but this conversation went somewhere else entirely.
Entirely, yes. So, well, that's bye from us. But we will have the... See, it's the spirits interfering again because I'm trying to talk about the poltergeist that hasn't been finished and soon will be because we'll have to re-record the end. You're singing over me. Anyway, it's been good, it's been nice, it's been lovely jubbly. We'll see y'all soon. Bye!
Bye!